warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's defeat to Falkirk, preview this weekend's home game against league leaders Dunfermline, and with just 9 games left of the season and 17 players out of contract soon, are these players playing for their futures? Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. It is quite wintry and cold outside, so hopefully this finds you in a warm state of mind. With me as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening. Not too bad, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad, as I said. Just a bit kind of chilly, wintry.
It's cold.
Wintry spells come back again. It fairly feels
we'll
like...
We get Saturday's game postponed.
We should have had Saturday's game postponed. Maybe that's what we should have done. But yeah, it's starting to be feel a little bit more depressing than it was a couple of weeks ago.
Is that the weather or the FIFA or both?
A bit of both, I think.
Yeah.
Seems to be that we're going backwards a little bit in terms of like the performances and things, which obviously we'll come on to. Saturday's game in more detail, but just I think there's a feeling now amongst certain sections of the support, and could be wrong, but I think there's a lot of folk have maybe just accepted the inevitable.
Yeah, possibly. we'll touch on it, but we did well for 45 minutes, and in the second half, just a disaster doing it at Falkirk. But yeah, I think there's almost an air of inevitability about Phil happen this season. I think we kind of had that new manager bounce. I think we got two semi-decent performances against Montrose and Airdrie. Okay, the Airdrie game last 10 minutes was sort of capitulated. But from there on, hey, look, I think there's been numerous changes, but I think you were looking for more of a bounce and a more of a reaction than probably what we've seen.
Yeah, and on the subject of a lot of changes, obviously the loan window is now closed as well, so essentially what we've got now is what we've got for the remainder of the season. We've got now a 27-man squad, as we know, three of which are out on loan. David Wilson, Prince Azari, and Robbie Scullion all out on loan to various clubs. So we've got a squad of 24, really. Obviously, three players that are out for long periods of time. Of those 24 players, 17 in the squad are out of contract at the end of the season, and we'll have four loans ending as well. So you're looking at 21 players potentially leaving.
Since a deja vu.
Yes, 21 potentially leaving in the summer. Six already signed up for next season or beyond. Stuart McKenzie, Jordan Brown, Ryan Strachan, Jack Brown, John Allen and Hamish Ritchie have all signed up for next season as at time of recording, because you never know how these things will change. As you said, Martin, but a deja vu with this one. However, what the manager was keen to tell us a couple of weeks ago when he was on, and I think what was mentioned at the manager's Q&A, he's keen to get players signed up, if it's players already at the club or players out with the club on pre-contracts. Obviously, a lot of these things will be happening in the background, but hopefully these things are falling into place. But the last thing we want is to have the same scenario as we had last summer, where players were leaving right, left and centre and no backup plan or plan A or plan B was in place for these players leaving.
Yeah, I came why the club only give predominantly 1-year deals. But it's almost a sense of deja vu. You mentioned Jack Brown's tied up for next season. Is that a player that, he's been out of the squad. He's not been featuring much under Davey. Although he's under contract, they might look to move him on. It's a wee bit like Grant Savory last year. He was under contract, and then another club came in for him. So, obviously, these things can change. Like I said, I came away to only give 1-year deals, but I just think it's a sense of deja vu. It's difficult to try and tie players down or invite players to come in because you really don't know what division we're going to be in. It's okay trying to sell it to a player, but it's actually getting them committed, signing that dotted line. There is, as well documented, there is more money in the Central Belt. So you're paying that a little bit extra to get a player up to Peterhead, and if there's any of the quality, and then you go down the division, puts a club under a lot of financial pressure as well. But yeah, it's a real sense of a deja vu for last year.
Is it fair to say that a lot of these players that are at the club at the moment, are they playing for their futures? Are they playing for their Peterhead careers? Because, you know, I think they've essentially got 9 games to secure themselves a contract for next season, in my view.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's almost like a 6-month trial that they're on, coming in January. But these players will know that when they come in, it was a case of trying to keep the club up. If you're asking me now, is there players in the squad that I would hate next season? Yes, but it's on one hand. Even players that are tied in for next year, I wouldn't necessarily say that they would be within my forefront thoughts to remain for next season. I think there's a lot of players that have shown very brief glimpses of what they can do, but you're looking for them to sustain it across a season, and that's really if it's happened over the last 6-7 months, and hence the reason we're in the situation that we are.
It must be difficult for the players as well, because, as you said, we don't really know what division we're going to be in, whether it's going to be League 1 or League 2. So for them, you know, if they sign up thinking that we're going to be in League 1 next season but end up being in League 2, does that then mean that they're not necessarily going to be happy at the club, but would they be looking to be playing higher? Or on the flip side, you might be getting a player who's thinking, well, it's a team that might get relegated in the summer, I could join them and try and push on, and we could get ourselves a winner's medal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be slightly naive of any player to think, if they're signing a contract now, that there's not that chance that they would be in League 2. I think if they're signing new, there's got to be that understanding of, evidently, we didn't came for the division we're going to be in. However, if you stay around next season and you have a good season in what, you know, as time of recording, bottom of the table, as you'd think in League 2, you have a chance of a winner's medal, you have a chance of a successful season, and you do get a chance of another club coming in, either the Championship or out with taking a punt on you. So there is that one step forward, two steps back. I mean, Grant Savory is a prime example. He dropped down to play for Peterhead. He was really good when he came in, and then he went to go to Queen's Park, who are riding high in the Championship. So there is signs that it can work. But, you know, it's getting the players to commit now, which also is very difficult when you don't account for the division you're going to be in, which also makes it difficult for the club as well in terms of budgets. You know, where do you look to strengthen? You might have 3 centre-halves that you've offered contracts to. You think they might stay, and then all of them might turn around and say, you know what, I don't want to be in League 2. So it's difficult for everyone. But, you know, it's a situation that we've brought on ourselves, i.e. the club and the players.
We asked the question on our social media, obviously, who you guys would want to try and keep, and the vast majority have said more or less the same. Everybody wants to see, or certainly the ones that it commented anyway, certainly wants to see likes of Jason Brown, Andy McCarthy, Danny Strachan, Kevin Joshua were kind of the most popular ones. Conor O'Keefe was mentioned, David Wilson, Cody McLeod, Daniel Fosu, and Glenn Gabriel were also mentioned by a few as well. So it's not necessarily going to be one of those situations where you go, right, every one of these players we want to see back, because it's in my opinion, I haven't seen enough from, especially a lot of these players that come in January, enough to say, right, yeah, we definitely need to keep them.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think there's players that have come in, dare I say, almost they're happy to pick up the pay for it. A few folk have said to me that they're happy with Fosu. I think he did okay when he came in. I think the last couple of games he's been a little bit caught out, ball watching a wee bit in midfield, doesn't like the dirty work of tracking back. And I think that's basic of any player. You've got to put in a shift, and, you know, I'm just not seeing it for him over the last couple of games. But yeah, there is players that I would think are here, but certainly wouldn't be here next season.
Any of those names that hasn't been mentioned, would you keep? So we're looking at like Paul Dixon, Robbie Scullion, Prince Azari, Enoch, Willis Simbi, Boris, Ikwa, Onison, Sandy Wood even. Any of those would you be looking to try and keep?
No. I don't think I've seen enough. I mean, it's been a poor season for everyone, but I haven't seen enough from them. Ironically, the only player I would really try and keep is a lone player, and that's Jack Wilkie. If there's a possibility, you know, to aid his development, that he would come back. I certainly don't think he would be back next season, even if he did stay in League One. I think he will play probably Championship next season, or even go back to Dundee and play for them. But he'd be a player that I would like to try and keep, but I don't think it'll happen. Same with Kieran Shanks. He showed him glimpse in a poor team what he can do. I think he'd probably go back to Arbroath and be in their squad. I think Dick Campbell already said that when he went out on loan, that he was still on the plans for Arbroath. But with the players that you've listed there, I struggle to make an argument to keep them, to be honest.
Yeah, if Dundee, I'd imagine if Dundee get promoted, I think what they would do is put Wilkie back out on loan again, but possibly
to Championship side.
Yeah, if they don't get up, they may well keep him within the squad. And it was said Shanks at Arbroath, it looks as though that they could be in trouble, and they could be playing League One next season, so he might be ideally placed to be sort of leading the line there. But yeah, I mean, the vast majority of the ones that's there, I mean, you really are kind of struggling to see if there's any standouts there. I mean, no, it looks like Paul Dixon has played his last game for pretty. I can't see him coming back after such a long injury. And he seems to be working quite well at Dundee United in the coaching side of things. So that might just be the thing for him to hang up his boots and just call it a day.
Oh, I would think so. I was quite excited when Paul Dixon came in. I thought he's a lot of experience. I thought in the centre half he would slot in nicely. It really just isn't a work too. I think he was caught, especially in the League Cup, he was caught quite a few times, and it just sort of went from bad to worse. Then there was an injury, and like you said, he's doing well at Dundee United at the moment, the coaching side of things. So I think the natural progression would be we'd go into coaching and probably hang up the boots in the summer.
Just on David Wilson and Prince Azari, who are out on loan at the moment, and it was interesting when Davey spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, he specifically mentioned these two during an interview, and he said that he felt that Davey needed game time, which obviously he wasn't going to get with the players that he's brought in. And he also felt as though that Prince has got the ability, but just again maybe needed the game time. So is there an argument there that, you know, these guys are out on loan at the minute, they're getting the game time, Prince doing really well at Lockie by all accounts? Is there a case for them to say, well, you've done well, we'll bring you back into the squad for next season, and if it's just for 1 year?
I think there is. I think the fact that they've gone out on loan, you know, Davey had a fair few changes in January, so I think the fact that they went out on loan, Davey wanted to keep them in the squad, but maybe thought they weren't just going to get enough first team fit by that he'd have wanted. And, you know, I think that almost would suggest that they're potentially in his plans for next season, but he just wants to see them get game time. I think Davey Wilson's a decent defender at this level, to be honest. I think he's too good to be playing, with all due respect, in the Highland League. Certainly can do a solid job for us in League 1 or League 2. So it'll be good to see him come in. Prince, he's shown flashes of ability. Again, probably just needs a bit of game time, different coming into a different country and playing. But it's confidence as well. If he's going to Lockie, he's playing well, he'll get the confidence. You'd like to think when he comes back in the summer, again, if he's got that bit of confidence, it's something different within the dressing room at training. Somebody's got a bit of a spring in their step. So these things will all play a huge factor in how things go.
And unfortunately for Robbie Scully, his loan doesn't seem to be working out at all. At Beath Juniors, it's been an unused sub for the last three games, I think. And any game time he's had has been less than 45 minutes since he's been out. So it doesn't look as though it's working out for him, which would probably mean I would suggest that he may be another one that will lend his time at Peterhead once his contract's up.
Oh, I would think so. It'll be disappointing for Robbie. I think he was hoping to really go out on loan and try and make a stamp on things. It, for whatever reason, it doesn't appear at this moment in time to be working, but I imagine come the summertime, the Peterhead and Robbie will probably part company.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've only got 9 weeks of the season left. So as I said, these guys are potentially, and certainly in my view, and I think maybe a few supporters' view as well, that are almost you know, playing for their futures, and it'll be interesting to see how the final 9 weeks of the season goes, and if anyone can convince us that they deserve another contract for next season, regardless of what division we're in.
I think it'll be difficult. Obviously, we've still got every team yet to play again. I think, you know, there's only a handful of games that you'd then think, right, we can get something from it. And like you said, that they're playing for their futures. If they see a definite future at the club, then you'd think they'd be giving their all. That's not to say to the Hinna, but, you know, based on performances, I think there's something not quite right. I don't think we've had the bounce, like I said, that since Davies come in. Somebody at work said to me today that there was a point in getting rid of McAnally, nothing's changed. Hard to argue. I mean, there is certain subtle changes. There's maybe things off the park that we're seeing as well, but he's not aware of. But, you know, I think that's maybe some spectators, you know, feeling some of the fans, well, what was the point in changing something? Because it's not nothing really worked. We're still getting beat. There's still a lot of bad performances. So, yeah, I think it's 9 games for people really to go into the summer and prove themselves.
And that's where we're at the moment. So hopefully within the next few weeks, coming days, we start to hear about any players that are signed up for next season. Obviously, they don't want to make anything public until it's obviously absolutely done and dusted. And maybe they don't want to make things public while we're in this kind of scenario, and maybe some people would see it as a distraction rather than, you know, just concentrating on getting the results on the park.
Yeah, them sort of things can be it's difficult. Some supporters will look at it and see it's a positive, some will see it as a distraction. I think it was done and dusted. You need to pick your moment right to put it on social media and put out the certain statements and such is signed. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be a few staying. Like I said, I think there's many, you know, probably on one hand you can count that it'll probably be here next season that we've currently got. And again, it goes back to what you said at the start of the show, it's an awful lot of upheaval again that we've just gone through in the summer and again in January.
You mentioned social media there just now. I think we've all sort of noticed the upturn in social media engagements recently. A few more stories, a few more different bits and pieces. I think that they're now taking advantage of the fact that the training is now at Balmoor on a Tuesday, so we can get access to the players. You know, the social media team, are able to speak to the players, speak to Davey as well. I noticed there was a bit of a preview before Saturday's game, which is something we have in the head very often. It's something you would see quite often from other clubs. You would get a chat, so which is good. It's all come for David, a guy I've worked with briefly when we were doing the Estate of Scottish Football podcast. Really good guy, proper, you know, journalist, so he knows the questions to ask, and maybe the questions not to ask as well. But it's good to see that side of things is starting to expand again.
Yeah, very refreshing. I think this is nice slant on anyone. I think the Peterhead media has been left, you know, wanting in recent years. I think there's clubs that are vastly miles ahead and things. Also, they've got a media team and it's not just something that's thrown together. I do like the Friday bulletin that goes out. You sort of get an update on certain aspects of the club and the business, which I think is a brilliant idea. The training coming to Balmoor, Davies interview, I think there's a player Q&A that's going to be happening as well, weekly or bi-weekly, and they're hoping to get done. All these things will exactly play in the hands of what David wanted. He wanted a connection with the fans and the players. How many of them players will be here next season remains to be seen, but I think it's good that we've got that sort of connection that you're starting to see, that the players, the manager and the fans. So yeah, I think the social media things over the last couple of weeks, even some of the tweets, there's been more just substitution goal, yellow card, there's been some mere interaction with it, and I think it's been good.
Did you say goal there just now?
Yeah, so what a goal is, so that's Falkirk, they put a shitload past this.
Aye, when you say goal, it's goal Falkirk, 1-0, goal Falkirk.
Yeah,
I get what you mean. So before we go to Saturday's game, a couple of questions have come in. Just the usual, the Jack Brown questions, the Jack Brown situation's come in again. I think we've established he's not injured. He's just, I wouldn't even say out of favour, really.
I think Davey's got a particular type of player that he wants in terms of his structure and stature within in the squad. And Jack's a smaller guy. He's not as bulked out as what some of them are. And I think that sort of plays... He doesn't play into his hands. He's one of I think he's one of our better players technically, but I just don't think he fits into a Davey's mould side at the moment. He's not injured, he's not suspension, he's got no carrying knocks or anything. I just think it is one of them. Davey's come in, it's a change of style, and unfortunately Jack's fallen foul of it.
Other question that came in, and I can't know if it was a piss take or fed ways, but we're asked the question, do you see Peterhead being breaking City and end up back into the Highland League if they're back-to-back relegation as well? We haven't actually been relegated yet, so that's a bit presumptuous, but I don't think that we would...
this comment has got to come back to one. If everybody's in a way to say it.
Hence why I'm trying to
phrasing of this.
Watch what I'm saying. If we do get relegated, which is still an if, by the way, if we do get relegated this season and go back into League Two, I think we're smart enough and we've got the structure to not get sucked into that end of the league again. Especially, I think it's still an attractive club to sign for, so I think we'd still be able to get the players to get us back into that top end of the league too.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that fear that when you get relegated that there is clubs that will do back-to-back relegation. I think the infrastructure's there for us for that not to happen. I think there is a budget there. But I would certainly think, I think the signings would need to be a lot shrewder than what they've been in the last two seasons. Also, there's a new director on board, there's a new manager, there's new coaches, so things are slightly different. It was difficult. The pre-season was all over the shop as well. You went into the Aberdeen game without a goalkeeper registered until 48 hours beforehand. So I think this season, regardless of what division we're in, I think the pre-season will be a lot more structured. I think the players will be a lot fitter and ready to go. So I think if we do go down, I think the infrastructure is there that we'd have a successful season.
Yep, so do keep your questions coming in. I do appreciate them. So we need to get on to Saturday's game against Falkirk. 5-0 it ended up being, and to be perfectly honest, I really didn't care where to start with this one. This was just it was just so bad, and as I said at the top of the show, I just get the feeling that we were going backwards again. I know it's against Falkirk, I know it's a team that's challenging for the League One title, but in terms of performance, it just wasn't there at all, and there was really no positives I can see to take out of this game at all.
No, there's no positives on the part. I'm just going to touch on I seen a thing on Twitter, I think it was this Scottish Football Away Days or something like that. They put up a picture, it was the Peterhead fans doing it at Falkirk. You know, it's standard Scottish football, some were taking the mick, but credit to each and every one of them that went down. The form that we were on, I don't think there have been many in that group that went down that felt that they could get a result at Falkirk. They've still put their hard-earned money. They've travelled a fair distance to go down to Falkirk and watch their team. And probably for 45 minutes were pretty decent. You know, we've gone in at half-time 0-0. But the second-half performance, I take it it's a team that's got better quality all over the pitch. But you think you've done a lot of the hard work getting in at 0-0. We've done everything we would have said last week. You frustrate them, get the fans on their back and all this. And then it just capitulated for whatever reason. And it was really poor. But the fans that went down, they didn't deserve that second half performance.
I would say as well, though, you know, it's okay saying going into the half 0-0. But the way we sort of set up, the way the game was going... It was always going to be inevitable that we were going to get broken down at some point. It was just almost a matter of when. And you look back on the game, and it's almost like there's two banks of five. And we're almost saying to them, right, try and break us down. we're going to be really difficult to be broken down. We're forward players, Oyensen and Shanks, good spells through the first half in particular. You know, they're 15, 20 yards for we're in 18 yard box. That's the setup that we've got, and it was just so defensive. So it was almost like we were trying not to get beat, but on the flip side, we're playing against a team who are playing really well, got really good quality players, and it wasn't just a case of it was nine places or eight places between the two sides. It almost felt as though it was like a full league between the two sides.
Yeah, it's difficult because I think if you were to go to Falkirk and you were trying to, you know, put two up top or you try and push your team up, I think we were, hey, you could have got beat 5-0 either. You sort of want to hear a go, but at the same time, I can see why Davey Hisner. I think you can, if you open up too early, you're on for a proper hammer. Now, if Falkirk can put five past you in the second half, if you'd opened up early on, you know, it really could have been 8 and 9s. And I think when confidence is low is what it is. I don't think 5-0 defeat ever is a good result, especially the way it came about. But I just think there's probably things you could have done slightly different, but at the same time, it is Falkirk away. I was really expecting from it. I certainly wasn't expecting anything from the game. But yeah, there's probably certain things that David looked back on now and think, well, maybe you could have done that, but then hindsight's a wonderful thing. But the performance in the second half really was a letdown.
As I said, we sat back, you know, inviting the pressure, 11 behind the ball. So even if you were, you know, clearing anything out, getting rid of, you know, making clearances, getting the bar up, it was just going to come straight back again. Whereas, you know, even if you just left one up, you know, just left Shanks up, he can maybe, you know, get the bar up to the other end, maybe win a corner, just, you know, just try and get a bit of light relief for the defence, because it was just one-way traffic the whole time. And quite often, you know, it was almost like 21 players were in the Peterhead half, just their goalkeeper was in their half. And you do get the stats, 20 shots on goal for the 20 shots, they had 9 on target, and we had 1 shot the whole game. And they had 10 corners, 2 or none. I think that really tells you, you need to care about how the game was going.
Yeah, it was definitely a backs against the wall performance. I think this bringing everybody back or being defensive structured, we've seen that a few times at corners as well this season, since Davies come in, that we've seen we take everybody back, and then the second ball, even if you do win it, you flick on at a corner, even if you do win it, you're out ball, you've nobody there. You invite pressure coming back to you. And that's probably, again, what happened on Saturday. It was defensive, but it wasn't, because we weren't defensively good, which has been the story of the season. But I do think we need to try something different. Now, we want to play Falkirk away again this season, but then you're hoping for something different when you come up at home on Saturday against Dunfermline.
But we haven't been defensively good all season, so you're almost... you're trying to be defensive with a team that can't defend, basically, or hasn't got the structure to defend.
I get the point. I seen a comment on social media on either Saturday or Sunday, and somebody said, doesn't matter if they give it 1-0 or 10-0, it's still 0 points, and the way our goal difference is going, it's going to be irrelevant anyway. I get that to an extent, but I think 5-0 is not a good result either, but it could have been a lot worse. Like you said at the start, I don't think there's any positives to take from it. It was poor. It's maybe one of them Davey might now chalk off and go forget about what happened, but I think we've got to take lessons from it and ways to improve, because, you know, there's been a lot of away performances this season that we've just been, you know, outplayed, outfought, and also as a supporter, the minimum you want for your team is to put in a good shift.
Yeah, and I think once the first goal went in, you wouldn't say that. Well, that was it. That's it. That's the game over, because you never felt as though that we were going to get anything further in. But it was just it ended up being what, 5 goals within the space of half an hour.
Yeah, 25 minutes or something.
25 minutes. So, I mean, you know, that's a goal every 6 minutes, near enough. So, if, as you said, if that had happened early on in the first half and you can see the goal every 6 minutes, you're looking at, you know, almost double figures.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a good result, but it could have been a lot worse. but we've got to take lessons from it. It's all right. Well, it's not all right, but you get a 5-0 defeat. You've got to say, right, well, how can we improve? And I think that's been a disappointing thing this season. We've had defeats, but you'll still get the same errors. Human error and, you know, decision making will all play a huge factor in it, but sometimes the way you set up will invite pressure. You touched on that just a few minutes ago, the way we were set up with Nate out ball. You had nothing really to chase down because it was Aaron Falkirk's hands. You know, and everything that we did do wrong, we got punished for it. And when you're up against a good Falkirk side, you know, these things will happen.
And as good as the Falkirk third goal was, and it's been plastered all over our timeline since Sunday morning. We've seen it all over the place. As good a goal it is, and correctly, everybody's bragging about it and discussing it. But it comes from a mistake by McKenzie. It's clear it was really poor. But that was one of, what, three or four mistakes he made during the game. And from one of your more experienced players, especially a goalkeeper, if he's making mistakes like that, you know, missing catches, his kick-outs were poor. I think the other one was passed back to him. He didn't deal with it very well, and he was charged down. So, you know, a player of his calibre, his experience, you wouldn't expect those kind of errors. You know, that's a concern when your goalkeeper's starting to make big errors like that.
Yeah, the only thing I can think, we've seen, was it his second game that he played? Stuart, he came rushing out for a couple of balls. I think he's probably a goalkeeper that he's not quite built an understanding with the defence, but he's also maybe a goalkeeper that doesn't trust the defence that he's got in front of him. Got to remember, he had a very good defence at Cove. They were well built, they were solid, up until they got to the Championship. He dropped out of the squad, he wasn't really in the team. Now he's playing for us in a team that's shipping goals left, right and centre. So difficult for the goalkeeper as well. But, you know, like you said, there was a couple of what you would call basics for a goalkeeper of Stewart's experience and quality. A couple of fumbles, catches and decision making. But we take nothing away from the third goal. It's a tremendous strike.
The third goal and the fourth goal were good goals for McGuffey coming off the bench and then scoring a hat trick.
And we're second one concede a set piece as well. We're just adding that into the mix.
Yeah, as I was say, the corner coming in right at the near post. I mean, we shouldn't be conceding for there.
No, we shouldn't be. Set pieces have been a bugbear of ours for years, you know, attacking sense and a defending sense. Where I'm a fan of players in the post as well. I would have rectified some of the goals that we've conceded this season, but the manner, I mean, it's a simple, it's a left foot cross in, and it's in the back of the net with one header. It was just poor right across the pitch.
But we've got a warning before that as well, because the first corner came in, he put it into the area, and we sort of dealt with it, so we could see another corner. But it was just the same ball that went in, and I don't know if we're slow to react or what, but it's just so frustrating at times just watching how these goals are being conceded.
I'm maybe being too harsh and too critical, but Davey 70 first came in, he was looking at how the data's analysed and that he gives the players a package beforehand that this is how your opposite number's going, or who you're up against, this is how they normally play, their left foot, right footed, exactly what they do. Surely there have been some in set pieces, and when it doesn't work out for them the first time, you'd think, well, wait a minute, he's just tried that within the last 10 minutes. This is what I think he's going to do, and you try and rectify it. But again, maybe just speaking out of turn, it just seems that we didn't learn our lesson, especially at set pieces. And that's something that I feel that we can defend a hell of a lot better than what we're doing. In open play, you get players' movement, but in the box, you've got your man. You know, surely as a player, you're like, well, my man's not scoring against this. But unfortunately, we didn't seem to be improving in that area.
I'll cast your mind back a couple of games, into Davies' tenure at the beginning, and we were really impressed with, especially at home, you know, we seem to be pressing higher. The trigger points, as you like to say, we seem to be higher up the park. We were making ourselves difficult to break down from higher up the pitch, and it just seems to be maybe this game just an anomaly in itself. But it just seems to be in recent games that sort of slipped a little bit and we're almost being overly cautious now, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it was early on January. It might have even been the Airdrie game on Montrose. But there was trigger points. You felt that when certain players ran, I mentioned that a few times now, Jack Wilkie, one on that day, up and down that left side, constantly really putting a shift. Obviously, Falkirk away is a difficult game, but I also think that the players that he's brought in, I think Davey made a comment on Saturday, and it was something along the lines of he's learnt a lot about some of the players, or he's learnt different things about them. He's maybe learned that they're just not capable. What he's seen in a trial game or a bounce game is completely different to playing a match. And I certainly think that there's maybe certain players that he's looked at and gone, actually, you're maybe not quite out for it. And then we kind of play the pressing game that we wanted. He'd have come in and he'd have tried to install a lot of confidence and a lot of belief that we could get out of it. But as the results have gone on, the performances have not really hidden that bounce. I think it's difficult to try and keep pushing the notion of pressing and trigger points and working hard, because there seems to be a lack of confidence. And naturally, you drop that 5-10 yards deeper. I think that's where the lack of press comes from. But it then allows us to be cut open far too easy.
Yeah, we've seen, I think that was Davey's 11th or 12th game in charge. So a lot of these players, we've seen plenty of them. Apart from maybe like Boris, who seems to be, who was signed up after a decent trial, hasn't played, but we've seen, and Glenn Gabriel is another one as well. But the likes of Kevin Joshua, Daniel Fozu, Ikwa is another one. We've seen plenty of them. They've had enough game time. So we can see what we can see. Is it time to maybe just change things up a little bit, try and bring in some of the players that's been on the fringes slightly and just see if that changes and try and give us a positive display?
Well, I think you're sort of now looking at the team and thinking, right, well, who does Davey fancy for being here next season? Is this their time now to be playing certain individuals that he thinks, like you mentioned, Boris, he was signed after a trial game, he had a bounce game, he did well in training. And then that's been it. So is that one of them players that he maybe felt he's realised actually maybe isn't as good as what he first thought, or the players that he's brought in he feels is better? It's difficult, but I would certainly think he's now got to try and... You're almost looking ahead to next season, but Nate will say, you don't care what division you're going to be in, but surely you start to try and mould the team around the players that you want or you felt could do a job for next season. Like I said, I think there's only a handful of players that I'd be pleased to see here next season.
There was the only one change that in the starting lineup on Saturday's game, and that was Danny Stragan come in for the injured Leighton Bisland. So he is trying to make as many changes unless he needs to make any changes. I think we said last week it was the first time he had an unchanged starting 11 for the first time since he's come in. But based on kind of these performances, I think maybe I think we need to start looking at rotating things a little bit and just try and change things up a little bit. Maybe, as I said, try and bring in likes of Jack Brown, start John Allen, see what he's all about, because he's another one that's been signed up specifically for next season as well. He signed an 18-month contract. So if we're bringing these players in, but when I use them, that you have to then start questioning why.
Yeah, I mean, the players that he's playing, it was unchanged side and then it was one enforced change. It's good that he's got a team that he's trying to work around, but again, it's not quite working. Sometimes you do have to make changes. Is that a change of system we need? Maybe not the right time of season to be doing it, but I don't think there hasn't really been a system that's worked this season. You're sort of clutching at straws, you're basically trying to pick up more points in Clyde now, and that's effectively it. You're now at the stage where we're looking at Clyde results as well. I think it was almost in our hands, and then we lost to Clyde, and the momentum's completely changed. But he probably now needs to look at a team that he's going to go for the rest of the season and almost stick till it with subtle changes and try and get us out of this mess that we're in.
Yeah, so let's get some of your comments coming in. Let's start with Morag. Richie, watched the game on Falkirk TV and we were never at the races. The front two will never do anything if they get no support from the midfield. However, the midfield couldn't get up quick enough to support them. I'm afraid Jason Brown and Ryan Strachan have seen better days. Robertson has a lot of his own signings playing, and most of them are no better than what the club disposed of. A couple of points there. Was a, we mentioned about the fact that the front two, she calls it, rightly enough, but they were far too deep to do anything up front anyway. She makes a point about Jason Brown and Ryan Strachan. They've seen better days. Is that a fair comment, or is that maybe overly harsh?
Everybody's entitled to their opinions. I think it's maybe just a fraction harsh. I certainly think there's a lot of endeavour for the two of them. But you look at the quality that they had last season, Jason especially, you know, he'd Grant Savory, he had Simon Ferry, you know, Scott Brown just playing ahead in front of him. He had Ryan Conroy, too, with the greatest respect this season. The players in front of him aren't of the level either. I think he was given a wee bit of a rough run when he was put out wide right a couple of weeks back, and then he was dropped, was it for Queen of South away? Potentially.
Alloa
away, sorry. And then he was brought on after half an hour. So I think there's always room for improvement with your squad. But yeah, I think it's a fraction harsh.
I think it's maybe easier to pick them out because we know their levels and how they can perform. I think Jason is pretty consistent, but I do think, and this is just the same as everybody else within the squad, I don't think the performances have been great, and I think maybe Jason would be his own harshest critic as well when it comes to assessing his end performances. But I do think that to pick them out of, you know, the entire squad that we've got and say that they aren't at their best is maybe just a little bit harsh. And as I said, you know, Jason and Ryan probably will give their utmost, more than, or just as much as anybody else. You know, everybody talks about, are these players coming in, do they care about the club? Well, these two do. They care about the club and they want to see the club doing well. But as you said, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinions. Fit myself, yeah. Opinions. It's great that we can hear these kind of conversations. But I think, you know, if you're in the mire, if you're in the trenches, as they say, I think Jason Brown and Ryan Strachan would be the two guys that you'd want to have there.
Their better days. I don't know. Quite agree with the comment. I think they certainly had better seasons. And I think they've had better performances than what they've shown this season. And I certainly think if they're around next season, I think, well, obviously you mentioned that they're harshest critics anyway, but I certainly think you would see a better level. There's no doubt in their commitment to the club, the fight and the passion. I mean, you see it from sometimes we win a throw-in with Jason, he's given a bit of a roar and trying to gee the boys up. But I think their better days are behind them. I just think they've certainly had better seasons than what we're having this season. But then that goes for every single player at the club as well.
Yeah, as you can imagine, most of these comments aren't going to be very positive, so we do apologise for that, but that's the way it goes. Aki, first time we've heard from him for a while, he says it sat back, inviting the pressure, was just a matter of time, really. Iquat is not a footballer. Thoughts on that one?
I can't really disagree. I like you mentioned him right at the start about any players that you'd be willing to keep. Again, I've certainly really seen nothing for him. I thought when he first came in, I thought there might be something there, but you know that was misplaced on my part as well. I don't think there is. If there is a player, I don't think it's at, you know, League One, League Two level, and I'd be surprised if he's here next season.
Well, Roberts, there's definitely a few passengers in this team. I mentioned it before, but why aren't McIver and Allen getting a look in? We're absolutely honking. So what is there to lose? There are no leaders in the team, nobody's shouting for the ball, and the movement is poor at times. For me, I'd like to see Jack Brown sitting behind Allen and Shanks, McIver and McCarthy in centre midfield, and let's get back to the high press. So a couple of things that we've already said, you know, mentioned the high press, mentioned the likes of McIver and, you know, John Allen not playing, and maybe that's something we need to try. Just try Shanks and Allen up front, McIver, McCarthy, and Brown as your midfield.
Yeah, like I said, I think John Brown's one of your better players technically. It maybe just needs that something different. I think we've maybe been trying to be too passive and try and defend something that's not there. We're a team that just can't defend, so you may as well go and hit an effort. I mean, obviously, we've been at the ideal time to start with Dunfermline coming up on Saturday, but you know, your best form of defence is attack.
Ethan Stewart and Neil Thompson both mentioned or questioned about the fitness levels towards the end of the game. Obviously, you know, sort of capitulating after an hour. I'm not sure if that's an argument for why we're conceding so many late goals. We've been conceding late goals all season. You know, I would suggest it's more maybe lack of concentration more than anything else, and just switching off at the wrong times maybe.
I think our fitness this season has been left wanting. I would say that even when Jim was here, you often seen games late on that we struggled in the last 10-15 minutes, and as you said, we have conceded quite a few late goals. You know, even under Davies' tenure at Airdrie, you know, the first Saturday in January, capitulated the last 10 minutes. So I think fitness levels is a bit of a concern, but I think Saturday would have just been a prime example of concentration. You concede one, then the floodgates sort of opened up. Difficult, you know, 0-0, you've still got something to, you know, try and hang on to, but once the first goal goes in, I think concentration sort of went out the window a wee bit, unfortunately.
Derek Bain watched it on Falkirk TV 84 minutes before we got our first shot on goal, and it was a tame one at that. Graham McLean makes no difference losing 1-0 or 5-0, still means no points, and our goal difference is shit anyway. As Davies said, pick your battles. You mentioned that earlier on, but I think you're running out of games to pick your battles in, though.
Yeah, like I said, we've still got the team still at play. I think there's only maybe about three or four games that you look at and go, you know, this is something we really need to get something out of. But as you rightly point out, there are only so many times you can say pick your battles. Again, every point's a prisoner, but I think Falkirk and Dunfermline are teams that we're going to pick up points, if I'm being brutally honest.
Final one then, Robert Patterson. The team appear to have lost any confidence that they may have had. The upcoming game against Dunfermline won't help at all. Sooner the season ends, the better for all, and hopefully the team can regroup and hopefully move forward. Yeah, it does seem as though that the confidence is low. Any confidence that was maybe lingering there is gone. I mean, for me, I'm just dying for the season to be over as well. You know, just end the season and look to make a fresh start in the summer and try and regroup, as Robert says, and try and move forward as best we can. But unfortunately, we've got another 9 games to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think every supporter this season just wants the season to end. You're hoping it ends in a positive and we're still in League One. But what you would say to that is if you do end in League One, you need a vast improvement on next season. You know, we spoke around April, May, and we felt a couple of good additions to our squad, and we could generally be pushing for a promotion playoff if we kept the core of the squad. And then a mass exodus happened, you know, timely with the departure of Simon Ferry going, it sort of meant a catalyst of players left. And we've been left in this situation, you know, ever since. So, yeah, you're looking forward to the season ending. Unfortunately, we've got 9 games still to go, but because, you know, performances and results have been few and far between this season.
Yeah, as we say, we've got 9 games to go. We're at the final quarter of the season. I mean, you could look at it and say, well, you've got 9 games to go. You've got to play each team one last time before the end of the season. And it might just be that we get 4 points between now and the end of the season, and that might be enough to secure that 9th place, and then obviously we'll look forward to the playoff. You know, if you look at that and you think, well, 9 points, 4 points out of 9 games for your quarter isn't great, but at this stage and knowing how bad Clyde are at the minute, you would take it.
Oh, absolutely. But the problem would be if Clyde pick up a win, and you lose that gap, then to me becomes insurmountable. I don't think you're overturning it. So you, effectively, you're looking to beat Clyde, which is what that's been the plan, you know, since the season really started. That you've got to try and beat Clyde to basically bind up. I didn't think Kelty and Edinburgh would be as good as what they've been. Because it's really tight in the middle, and then you've got Clyde and Peterhead cut well adrift. So you look at it, and you know, mentioned that, I think it was last week or the week before, you're hoping to catch teams at the right time. Is there going to be a team that's going to be on the beach, so they've got nothing to play for? But looking at the league table, there's still a lot to play for pretty much every team apart, you know, every team in the division, they've got something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's picking where battles, as we've said a few times, but it's getting pretty bleak.
So we start the final quarter with a home game against Dunfermline. Three games against them this season have yielded just 1 point and two goals. A 2-2 draw in the first game, Dunair, then a 2-0 loss up here, ending with a 4-0 back down the road there again. So the results have been great. I would suggest that the beginning of the season, the results against Dunfermline weren't going to make a difference to how our season was going to go, because of, you know, them coming down and previous results against them in previous years. But, you know, for this one, after such a horrendous result and a horrendous performance on Saturday, because it's a home game, what I'm looking for here is a decent performance. Look, if we get beat again, but the performance is better, that's fine. But it's the manner in which we seem to be getting beat in these games. So, you know, for me, we're looking for a performance here.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's performance in the second half, is it was not good enough on Saturday. You're looking for a reaction. Yes, it's Dunfermline, but it's a home game. And we've said numerous times before, it will probably keep us up as wins at home. I don't think we're going to get a win against Dunfermline. You know, they're riding high at the top. They've got a massive game tomorrow night against Falkirk. I said to you up there, they're either going to come up here on Saturday with their tails up because they're flying high and they've beat Falkirk, or they'll be a wounded animal because they haven't got the result they wanted. Mm-hmm. So either way, I think it's a good time to be playing them. And again, you kind of just chalk off a game and go, right, okay, just put it to the side and we'll focus on the last eight, because there then becomes a point that you've run out of games and you're still bottom. But you're looking for a performance to think, well, there's actually something here. And when you play the likes of Queens and Alloa, Kelty and Clyde, that you feel that you can get something. And we haven't really seen that.
They're unbeaten in the last 14, just three draws in that run as well. So, you know, they are on good form. They are top of the table for a reason. But there are a lot of these games, and it was said previously as well, they are doing maybe just enough to win these games, especially away from home. You know, they come up here and won. You know, it looked comfortable in the end, 2-0. But I think it's a game where, you know, if we can... I don't want us to be opening up too much, but I just don't want us to be, you know, sitting too back too much and just allowing them to dictate play. I want us to be a bit more attack minded and try and take it to them for spells in the game.
Yeah, I want us to be on the front foot. I want us to certainly come into the traps and, you know, hey, our goal. Obviously, you don't want to be shipping, you know, 5, 6, 7 goals at home. But I want something that you can leave there and go, a bit like what you said. Yeah, okay, we've maybe lost the game, but I just felt that there was that passage of play was good, or that moment in the game, or you felt that there was a change here. Something, I mean, it's clutching at straws, but that's really what the stage that we're at, that we're hoping to grasp something to take into the last, what would be the remaining 8 games.
As you said, mentioned that there's only one change from the previous games, Danny Strachan coming in for the injured Leighton Bisland. You know, should be, we've mentioned it a little bit already, but should we be making changes? Should we try and change the formation a little bit, change the personnel maybe? You know, rather than having what looks like, you know, two up front with one sitting behind, maybe try and get another midfielder in. How would you, if you were in charge, how would you set it up?
I would almost be going with like 3 centre-backs, 2 full-backs, 3 in midfield, and then 1-1. So it's almost like a 3-5-2, but it's slightly offset. I think you've got to hit somebody up top, you've got to hit a link-up man, and I would certainly put an extra man in midfield. you've got your full-backs to try and nullify that, fly them down the wings. But again, you're looking for that energy going up and down. You're looking for the players in midfield to really try and get a tackle in. I don't think if I'm going through in midfield, I wouldn't be him Fosu. I think sometimes the games have passed him by when he's played in midfield. But if you're going to hear him off Kieran Shanks, perhaps, in that number 10 role, again, that's maybe a role for him. But certainly be trying to change up a wee bit.
Yeah, and you know, if Bisland's available again, you would think he'd be worthy of coming back in again. But you know, is Darren Strachan, I don't think did anything really too wrong. I know we've got Gob 5-0, but you know, he's been brought in because of an injury. It's worth giving him another couple of games just to give him a bit more confidence, if anything else.
Yeah, Danny was in the squad, and then Bisland came in, he was sort of dropped, but also we tried a few players out wide right. Again, unfortunately, Danny fits into that Jack Brown sort of situation where he's not quite got the build that I think Davey's looking for. But Danny was playing well up and down that right-hand side. He was trying to give you an out ball. And again, I wouldn't be against him playing on Saturday, far from it. I don't think Leighton Bisland was particularly good in the last game he played. He looked a wee bit unsure, and there was a mistake as well. So again, it's unfortunate that Leighton missed out, but it might be for Danny Strachan's game.
And obviously, we're watching out for Clyde's results there at home to Queen in the South. You know, it looks as though that's a game that they could take something out of that one, but just because the way Queen's season has gone. So we're really looking for, you know, we said last week, a minimum of a point out of this game.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to get a point. I really kind of see it. I think Dunfermline's flying high, that their confidence is up, tails are up. Had we maybe put in a semi-decent performance on Saturday, you might have felt that would have been your bit of confidence. But yeah, we're sort of looking at Clyde and who they're playing now, and you think, well, if they get something against Queens and we get beat, you know, that gap widens again.
Okay, joining me now at this stage is Michael Wood from the That's Never 10 Yards podcast, here to discuss what he hopes is going to be a title-winning side at the end of the season. Michael, welcome back onto the podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, as I said to you, and thanks for having me on, I'm nervous for what comes tomorrow and potentially Saturday, because as we've seen before against Peterhead, not up in Balmoor, of course, but East End Park, that no victory is sealed until the final whistle, so I'm very nervous what's going to happen the next 72 hours, 96, upcoming, because like you said, hopefully by the end of the week, Dunfermline will be settled as title winners, all but mathematically, but just nervous about our fellas Dunfermline fans, to be honest.
Yeah, we're obviously going to chat about Saturday's game, but as you said, you've got a game on Tuesday night, a massive game against your biggest rivals. It's fair to say they've sort of cut the gap a little bit and have been, you haven't put them to bed just as early as you'd have liked, and this is a big game for both sides now.
Yeah, the fact that Mr. Pell against Airdrie a few weeks back, that would have meant we were level in terms of points gained since the last Derby game, so we would have kept them at bay. I mean, and 7 points looks much better than 5 points. You don't need to be a mathematician or a Cara Vorderman to work that one out. So, yeah, just take a draw. I mean, absolutely take a draw tomorrow and then go into the Peterhead game, like you said. Like you said, if they're a wounded animal, then you expect a hiding. But like you said, if you're on a high, then, yeah, maybe you get a hiding as well. But, again, up there, bite your hand off for a 1-0. As we've discussed before when I've been on the show, Dunfermline seem to have great trouble breaking down any sort of team, and the fact that we've lost, sorry, not won half our games, we've drawn half our games against Clyde and Peterhead, shows you that even though we're flying high, there's about 50 points a gap in the table between us, that no wins assured at this level.
We're approaching the final quarter of the season, and I guess being top of the table at this stage of the season would have been exactly where you would have wanted to be at the start of the season. And as you've mentioned, I think we've mentioned a couple of times since we've been on, you haven't really sort of been blowing away teams in terms of, you know, scoring 3, 4, 5, 6 goals or whatever. But you're doing enough to win these games. And has it been a decent season overall because you're top of the table? Or is that maybe just a little bit disappointing that you haven't sort of run away with it, if you like?
but not the entertainers that we were the last time we were down under Alan Johnson, so 2015, 2016. And while that game, that team did lose games, the football that we were playing was outstanding, and you felt going into games that even if a team went ahead, then you'd have more than enough in the tank to blow them away. Recently, I suppose the last month or so, since the reinforcements come and the squad depth is really enhanced, I think you are now seeing that Dunfermline, as with the case with Airdrie, the week before the draw, when they went 3-0 up, and then they were 3-0 up with 30 minutes to go and still lost the game 4-3, that shows a belief within a side that they can go to any opposition, even one like a bogey side that Airdrie have been over the last decade that we've played them, and still get the victory. So I think there's a case that we're the comeback kings, but you don't want to run that record, and you don't want to rely on that record too much going forward, do you? You want to take the leading games, take the initiative. The fact that Falkirk, the last time they came down, they were 1-0 up and we had to come back and draw the game as well, shows you that you need to be taking the initiative in these games. I don't know if McPake's quite the front foot manager that maybe a John McGlynn tries to be, or a Rhys McCabe tries to be with his sides. So the pragmatic approach has worked for us so far, but maybe it's the past experiences of being a Dunfermline fan for the last decade that we don't win the big game. We've gone to so many season definers, I guess you could call them cup finals, whatever, and we don't seem to come out on top. So I just think it's the case of those past experiences of built a nervousness within the squad, within the support. And I don't know if that leaks into the squad at East End Park. Away from home, we're flying, but at home, in fact, I think we've won 7, drawn 6. Even though we've got lost, it still implies that it's not quite the complete picture yet.
Look at the stats. I think you're unbeaten in 14, and you've had just three draws in that time. But also look at it as well, in that run, you've only won a game by more than 2 goals twice. The 4-3, as you said, against Airdrie, and the 4-0 against us as well. So, you know, as you said, you're maybe not sort of setting the heather alight with these wins, but you are winning games.
Yeah, there must just be the confidence within the side. The fact that they can do this on a consistent basis. Like, this is the longest unbeaten run that Dunfermline's been on since the last time they were in League One. And I just think that I just worry if the team do get beat, not like they did against Montrose with the bench back impeccably, but because it's so late in the season now, if we lose one, does that become a run? And then you see Falkirk go flying ahead of you. But I think the confidence within the squad, and I think it's because McPake keeps a lot of the guys level-headed and fear on the ground. And I think that's maybe why you don't see them blowing away teams. You see them do enough and then preserve the lead and then moving forward to the next week, because, like I said, it's all very well doing 4-3s on the occasions, but 1-0s, the 2-0s, the 2-1s, those are the games that win you titles rather than being the entertainers of the league, which I thought it probably are, to be honest. They're probably the best football side alongside the Adrians. But again, those are not the top of the table teams. So I'd rather be in our position, and it's maybe a wee bit dour at times, rather than this being an expansive and free-flowing football team, but still not getting out of the division.
You must look at it and go, obviously your focus is on the Falkirk game on Tuesday, but as you said, if you lose that game, does making the trip up to Peterhead that bit more trickier, because you think all of a sudden that gap's gotten a hell of a lot smaller, and you know, if another slip up on Saturday, and that could disappear altogether.
Yeah, that's exactly, and the fact that Falkirk have just come off the back of beating you 5-0 as well, it will perhaps put a real nervousness into the travelling support. If the game's not settled within the first 15-20 minutes like it was last time when we came up north there. So I think it is just a case that there is just real apprehension there, I guess. So I need more adjectives for nervousness around the whole place at the moment, because Falkirk fans seem to have this belief that they're going to catch us, which is all fine and well. But the Dunfermline fans don't carry an arrogance that this league's done. We know fine well over numerous years that you've just got to be careful. It's not done until it's done. A friend joked with me, there could be 3 games left, we could be 10 points clear. He's still not sure that we'd still lift the title. So that real apprehension about the place is seeping in, because the Dunfermline fans haven't really had much to celebrate over the last 10 years.
Yeah, and you just have to look at the lessons in the last couple of seasons. Falkirk, you know, I think at one point they looked as though they were going to win the league, couldn't pick up any wins tail end of the season. I think Airdrie as well last season, they look good for going up. Didn't they win the playoffs? So there is a fear, I guess, that if you didn't get things done and dusted quickly enough, that then builds the negativity starts to build.
Well, absolutely. And the fact that the last team to lose a lead at this late stage in a League One campaign was John McGlynn's Raith Rovers, when they got beat by Ayr they got pipped by Ayr on the final day because they couldn't beat Alloa. So McGlynn, who's in the Falkirk dugout now, knows fine well that any league can dissipate very quickly if you're not just on it at the end. And I think their big momentum shift was when Ayr won 3-0 at their place. So hopefully we replicate the same result on Tuesday. But again, because all the focus is on Tuesday at the moment, it shouldn't be from the players first and foremost minds, because again, going up to Peterhead, if you do the job on Tuesday, then let Falkirk out backing on the Saturday, because you don't beat the team that's bottom of the table, then there's really all for naught. So it has to be a consistent one game at a time focus. I think that's where you get a more of that pragmatic approach with Mick Pegg, where Grant and Hughes had pie and eye ideas. Like they're looking so far ahead of their stations already when we rooted bottom to the table. It wasn't about Dunfermline should be in the Premiership or the Premier League. It should be Dunfermline should be fighting for survival in the Championship, because that's where we are at the moment. I think Mick Pegg's not got ideas above Falkirk and Peterhead this week. He's not worrying about the rest of the campaign. It just was immediately ahead of you, and I think that's refreshing to see from a Dunfermline manager in this recent months that he's taken over, because he wasn't the most popular. I think he's slowly built the rapport with the fans that it's not the big brash ideas, it's just how do we go about winning games of football to the best of our ability. It's nothing more than that. It's not the smart arse lines. And I think that's why Dunfermline fans have taken aboard when perhaps they're a bit apprehensive at the start.
What, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, then what would you expect for the game on Saturday?
I think an R 2-0 would be perfectly adequate. Being the South last away game 2-0, I think away from, because we seem to be so impressive. If they're just basically quiet games, get the job done early doors, and then kind of see throughout the game, because you've got the five subs these days, bring on Paul McGowan, bring on some of the fringe players to just see them through the game. I think I'll be absolutely ecstatic with that, to be honest, because there's no point in getting too carried away and looking for goals now. We know what we are. We're a team that's very hard to break down, very hard to get goals against. I think it's only about 16 in the league, which is very impressive. Considering you've got about 13 or 14 clean sheets added into that as well. So if we can keep that defence, and then if we do go up next season, you've still got that kind of balance to your side, that's something to build on. So I think there is definitely positives going forward with being defensively solid, which a Dunfermline team hasn't been for, off the top of my head, I can't remember when a Dunfermline team wasn't shaky at the back. So that fact that he's coming and done that with a team that had a lot of players from last season's relegation battle as well, is an tick in the box for Mick Pegg, and I think he's done well. But yeah, 1-0, 2-0, absolutely ecstatic with.
And would you expect a big travelling support on Saturday as well?
Yeah, especially if we do win. I think there will be a big travelling support because they want to cheer on their guys. There always is. You always get your diehards. And that, I think Dunfermline do travel well and good support. Balmoor's a nice place to visit. It's not like Meadowbank in Edinburgh's ground, which is the facility itself is like a lovely facility, but the actual playing pitch and where you stand is horrendous, and Dunfermline do still take a good travelling support, even though it's just down the road. But no, I expect a good healthy crowd up in Peterhead, regardless of the result, to be honest. But I think there'll be a few extra stragglers if we do win tomorrow.
I'm making the assumption that you will be going up next season. But have you, I know you'd much obviously prefer to be in Championship or higher, but have you enjoyed playing against different teams, if you like, and visiting different places this season?
Yeah, I think it's good to do for a season. And then, if you're still here the next season, like, well, I've been to these places twice last season, and I'm doing them again twice this season. The feel like kind of stuck in there. I think we were like the 2014, 15 and 16. We were stuck in League One for 3 years. We thought, oh, maybe this will be 1-2 years, but it's been nice. It's been a way nice wee change. I think sometimes teams do need to go down to reset, and that's been perfect for Dunfermline this time around. But yeah, if it starts going to second season, third season, just like the Falkirks, if Rovers got caught in the trap for a wee bit as well, with the safe maybe and there being that kind of cycle. I'd worry about it. No, it's been refreshing to go back to see a few stadiums that I probably hadn't seen in 7-8 years.
But yeah, as you say, you much prefer to be playing in the higher divisions, yeah.
Yeah, it was much better when we were in the top flight playing Hibs and Rangers, but that's quite a number of years ago now, so hopefully one day we'll be back to that level. But the fact that we've been away from the top flight for 12 years now, it's something for a club the size of Dunfermline, but that's the mismanagement of the club, and that's a whole different podcast to go into rather than this one right now.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Michael, a pleasure having you on, and I thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you over the course of the season. This is our last game before the season ends. As I said, I'm assuming we're not going to be in the same division next season, so I hope you, from your perspective, hopefully you're not back again on the podcast next season.
Well, this is a cup game, I suppose, but I hope the period do stay up in League One, because I'd much prefer them than Clyde, to be perfectly honest. I was thinking into that mass just now, yeah, I'd rather much see Peterhead just more for a bit of a diversity. It's better when there is teams from up in the Highlands, down in the South, like Queen of the South, rather than just be all Central Belt teams. It gets a bit boring and you need a bit of variety in Scottish football, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's it. Thanks again, Michael, for coming on. As I said, hopefully you guys are promoted and promoted as champions at the end of the season, and wish you well, and hopefully we'll stay in touch over the course of the rest of the season.
No, of course. Thank you, Colin.
And that is it for this week's episode. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you once again to Michael Wood from the That's Never 10 Yards podcast for joining me, and as always to Martin Smith for his insight. A huge thank you to everyone for listening, and for your questions and comments, please keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers, Martin Smith and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.